Who are we to use a word like murder, judging Inca priests by our own standards rather than theirs? Perhaps this girl was rapturously happy with her fate. Perhaps she really believed she was going straight to everlasting paradise, warmed by the radiant company of the sun god. Or perhaps, as seems far more likely, she screamed in terror. Humphrey's point, and mine, is that regardless of whether she was a willing victim or not, there is strong reason to suppose that she would not have been willing if she had been in full possession of the facts. For example, suppose she had known that the sun is really a ball of hydrogen, hotter than 1,000,000 degrees Kelvin, converting itself into helium by nuclear fusion, and that it originally formed from a disk of gas out of which the rest of the solar system, including Earth, also condensed. Presumably then, she would not have worshipped it as a god, and this would have altered her perspective on being sacrificed to propitiate it.
The Inca priests cannot be blamed for their ignorance, and it could perhaps be thought harsh to judge them stupid and puffed up. But they can be blamed for foisting their own beliefs on a child too young to decide whether to worship the sun or not. Humphrey's additional point is that today's documentary filmmakers and we, their audience, can be blamed for seeing beauty in that little girl's death, something that enriches our collective culture. The same tendency to glory in the quaintness of ethnic religious habits and to justify cruelties in their name crops up again and again. It is the source of squirming internal conflict in the minds of nice liberal people who, on the one hand, cannot bear suffering and cruelty, but on the other hand have been trained by postmodernists and relativists to respect other cultures no less than their own. Female circumcision is undoubtedly hideously painful. It sabotages sexual pleasure in women. Indeed, this is probably its underlying purpose. And one half of the decent liberal mind wants to abolish the practice. The other half, however, respects ethnic cultures and feels that we should not interfere if they want to mutilate their girls. Point, of course, is that their girls are actually the girls' own girls and their wishes should not be ignored. Trickier to answer, what if a girl says she wants to be circumcised? But would she, with the hindsight of a fully informed adult, wish that it had never happened? Humphrey makes the point that no adult woman who has somehow missed out on circumcision as a child volunteers for the operation later in life. It is a regular practice in Britain today. A senior schools inspector tells of London girls in 2006 being sent to an uncle in Bradford to be circumcised. Authorities turn a blind eye for fear of being thought racist in the community.
After a discussion of the Amish and their right to bring up their own children in their own way, Humphrey is scathing about our enthusiasm as a society for
maintaining cultural diversity. All right, you may want to say, so it's tough on a child of the Amish or the Hasidim or the Gypsies to be shaped up by their parents in the ways they are. But at least the result is that these fascinating cultural traditions continue. Would not our whole civilization be impoverished if they were to go? It's a shame, maybe, when individuals have to be sacrificed to maintain such diversity, but there it is. It's the price we pay as a society. Except I would feel bound to remind you, we do not pay it. They do.
The issue came to public attention in 1972 when the US Supreme Court ruled on a test case, Wisconsin versus Yoder, which concerned the right of parents to withdraw their children from school on religious grounds. The Amish people live in closed communities in various parts of the United States, mostly speaking an archaic dialect of German called Pennsylvania Dutch, and eschewing, to various extents, electricity, internal combustion engines, buttons, and other manifestations of modern life. There is indeed something attractively quaint about an island of 17th century life as a spectacle for today's eyes. Isn't it worth preserving for the sake of the enrichment of human diversity? And the only way to preserve it is to allow the Amish to educate their own children in their own way and to protect them from the corrupting influence of modernity. But, we surely want to ask, shouldn't the children themselves have some say in the matter?
The Supreme Court was asked to rule in 1972 when some Amish parents in Wisconsin withdrew their children from high school. The very idea of education beyond a certain age was contrary to Amish religious values, and scientific education especially so. The state of Wisconsin took the parents to court, claiming that the children were being deprived of their right to an education. After passing up through the courts, the case eventually reached the United States Supreme Court, which handed down a split, 6-1 decision, in favor of the parents.